Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And today we are going to talk about food. I mean, I am hungry. Not broke just yet. Just that I was just too hooked up into this whole GMO thing. I didn't have time to go out. And also, I think we need a taxi that will just be driving us from here to the store and then back. Because, yeah, but look, there's some, I think there's something wrong with that mic. I started noticing that in the morning.
Let's try number three, yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
And we are back. So.
So you actually want a DoorDash, Helmut?
Yeah. You know, just my laziness catching up.
Or do you want an intravenous situation running it directly into your veins?
I think it's taking place this time period. One of the biggest examinations, written in China.
Oh no, where the, yeah. Let me add this on.
That's pressure.
Apparently, AI companies in China disabled their AI services so that the students can go and write with brain power to avoid any cheating coming through.
Like that type of examination.
Because I've heard the problems of AI usage in Namibia on Namibian universities. I've got a niece who's on university here in Namibia.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the field that she's studying, the course, is law. And group assignments, people are copy and pasting from AI. They tell the AI, do my work.
Well, you see.
That's the mentality that many of these young, potential employees into the new.
Look, the thing is,
why did you have to throw the unemployed? They're most unemployed most already.
AI is the reason why I'm eating healthy and this is the reason why I'm a law-abiding citizen.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, chances of being, you know, of being defended by a lawyer that graduated with ChatGPT or chance of being operated on by a doctor who graduated with ChatGPT are really high. In the age of AI. I mean, China has the capability to basically switch everything off because they run it. We don't.
Yeah, we don't.
And if you want an academic disaster, just do that.
And, but that's also one of the things. I mean, what was the one researcher that I looked at? But it was a discussion where there were like two academics were present, and the one guy said, he tells the person interviewing them, you have no idea how many times they have to reject research papers that they went through that was clearly written by by an AI on behalf of someone. Because the person went and told the AI, write my research paper for me. And you are seeing more and more uses of people who do not want to work. They don't want to go and sit. And I mean, Helmut, it's one of the reasons obviously why I love Facebook, because on Facebook, you've got this community of us millennials that love sharing jokes, inside jokes that just we understand. Now there's a specific page that I follow on Facebook, of, you know, the research guys, the it's like something academia where the one guy goes like, your literature review is literally as high as a mountain. But the research paper you're writing based upon that literature review is literally just 5 pages. It's literally just like very small, teeny weeny little document. But the amount of knowledge you had to go through just to find the knowledge and the information that backs up your hypothesis or that rejects your hypothesis is just 5 pages, 6 pages. And that's even based upon our discussion today. Remember the particular audio based upon the virtual meeting where the moderator, the American guy, Tim Wise says a 200-page report with 1,200 references. I was like, yo.
Yeah. 1,200
references. It's a 200-page report. Nah.
Yeah.
But there's 1,200. How much? 1,200 references could probably be.
How many pages?
100 pages alone.
You have to give credit to everyone whose work you used.
Yeah. Which is primarily brings us to our discussion. Good afternoon, dear listeners. This is the Home Run with your Drive Time team. That's now obviously Hamid and myself. Welcoming you to a not so cold Thursday.
Ah, yeah. No, hey, thank heavens.
Thank heavens. But obviously, you know, knowing winter in Namibia and knowing our connected winter with South Africa, South Africa does have a penchant of transmitting cold fronts to us. So the potential is high, Helmut. Wherever you see a low in the weather, meaning it feels a little bit warm-ish, just know that that is literally the calm before
the storm,
the next cold front.
Now, let's talk about food, especially from the, you know, there are a lot of very important points that were made from the, you know, from the audio coming out of the conference, the audio that you just shared. From the beginning, the doctor from UNAM. Man, I was laughing at that.
Not thing. UNAM Namibia.
Turns out that UNAM is Universidade Nacional. What? Autonoma de Mexico. It's Spanish, right? And I really tried to find the document where back in 2023 the then Mexican president AMLO, in short, that's a very long Spanish name. But he was always referred to as AMLO in the same way that they always said, you know, what they referred to Jacob Zuma as Jay-Z. And M7. But
the guy's name is Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador. Now, I don't know why with the Mexicans and the South Americans, you have to mention the whole family names, second name, mother's name, father's name. Did you know that they had that naming convention?
I didn't know that until last year when one daughter of the Duke of Spain was literally asked by the Spanish Home Affairs Ministry to shorten his daughter's name so it can fit on the ID.
So, in the Spanish...
Because it was that long.
So, in Spain, in the South American countries, the Spanish-speaking ones, not Brazil, you have the name, first name, then if you have a second name, then you get like the father's first name, and then you get the mother's first name. That's why you have some men that have that. His name is Alberto Maria Ricardo. But if you try to understand where does the Maria come from, it's the guy's mother. So it's paying homage to the mother. But then there are two surnames in the name.
It's mother not, and it's, the fathers.
Yeah. It's not a, the double barreled situation where you now see here in what some Namibians do. They, you know, they connect through a hyphen two surnames together. Yeah. No, it's literally, Puebla e Puerto.
Ish.
It literally flows like that. It's literally two names. Let's say Jack and Jones. Jack and Jones. Literally it flows like that. It doesn't say, no, not Jack and. It says Jack Jones. Those are the two surnames. And then that's the person's name. It's literally like six names. Six.
Look. That's why, look, now I understand why. I think that, because I got the AMLO, like, shortened version from WEON. And that's coming out of India, so you understand. So
and they don't say WEON like you said it just now. They like saying VEON. And like, you're like, hang on a where's second. The V? Okay. It's the W.
Yeah, my favorite part of the Big Bang Theory is where Raj is complaining about someone's name being long, and then he's reminded that, dude, your name is Rajesh Ramayan Kothrapali. What are you talking about?
And that's just one name? That's just the first name?
Look, Look, the tradition, I think the traditional way of naming is, you know, has a lot of, has a lot of sort of like meaning that's attached to it. And especially in a lot of like, you know, a lot of royal families, that culture still, you know, they still have that culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's really impossible to, I mean, to have, because the bottom line is you want an ID card that can fit in your pocket, not one that you need a trailer to carry. Because Spanish royal family is coming after me with this. Look, the point.
An ID card? But a trailer, but how big is an ID card?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So, the thing is, President, President Obrador.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, in 2023, he passed basically a presidential decree, making it more like, I think he wanted to put it more over a long-term period of reducing the amount of, of slowly, banning the amount of, of GMO, corn that's used in making food products, like, one of the, the staple food, especially in, I'm not sure if there's the entire South America. Or just Mexico, tortillas, which makes also, if you have eaten tacos, then, that's type of staple type of bread where they wrap all the stuff that they put on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tortillas. Now, the thing is, for a very long time, since
and it's made from
corn.
Yeah, like you said. And for us, it's known as the mealie, guys.
Yeah.
So just so that you know, we will interchangeably use corn and maize as the two words.
Yeah, corn is the American.
Yeah, but the real sort of like formal English name is maize.
Yeah.
That we sometimes use. But corn and maize, same thing.
Same WhatsApp group.
Yeah. We get associated to the mealie. But you were saying, Helmut.
Now that presidential directive is the one that led the, that led a lot of American companies. Basically the American government. Let's just use the American government, to go, according to the, now, this is why, where I find it very interesting.
Mm.
Yeah, that, according to the, according to the trade agreements, that piece of legislation you want to implement is going against the trade agreements we have.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, so translation one, I read something before signing it. But, look, the fact that they won that case in December is a very interesting one.
Mm. And that's December last year.
That's December last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obrador, lost to the lady that's now in office somewhere in October. So she ascends, office and then obviously, I'm not saying there's a link between what's happening in politics and what's happening in this, in this case. Just how they lost the case is a very interesting way of looking at it. Because for one, unquestionable, effects of GMOs on the human body. It's not up for debate. It's something that's well known. That is actually what leads to where if you look at the American, how to put this, food industry.
Yeah.
It's loaded with a lot of things that is, not just the, GMOs, but also flavorings and colorings that are illegal in a lot of parts of, a lot of.
What was the other thing's name?
There's
cornstarch. Which is used in so many other food products.
Almost everything. Now,
yeah.
back in February, one dye also surfaced in a lot of, became a center of discussion.
Mm.
They call it, red dye 3. They are different, Now, by the way, this red dye 3 type of chemical and among a lot of other food additives are actually illegal. In the US, there's a type of cereal that's produced, that's made by Kellogg's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that type of chemical, that type of cereal is sold under the same brand, both in the US and in Canada.
Mm.
But in Canada, they use watermelon and carrot flavoring and coloring.
Mm.
But in the US, they use a synthetic one.
Mm.
That's where you see that, now, that's where, the Time guys, they wrote the following article where they, where they pointed out that, the reason why you'll find that there is a food additive, for example, that is legal in the EU, that's illegal in the EU, but it's legal in the US, is because of, it's a regulation issue. And then they use a very nice example that, any food product, for example, is consumed, healthy until proven otherwise. But then other parts of the world, you have to prove that it's healthy because the government will assume it's unhealthy until you, the person that wants to use it, will have to prove that it is healthy.
Mm.
Not explain, prove. So you have like a toothy, assumed guilty until proven innocent and assumed innocent until proven guilty type of situation that, that they have going on there. Now, according to Times, why some food additives banned in Europe are still on the, on US, US shelves. This is their own media. Now, walk down your grocery aisle and you will spot many food containing ingredients you won't find in Europe. And the unusual way the US regulates ingredients is in the news and the hot seat right now. Now, this was in February. Now, thanks to the recent ban of food additive red dye 3. Now, this is when Robert F. Kennedy came to, was now put in charge of their health departments, aka their Ministry of Health, if you want to put it that way. Now, then they go on to basically go to, they basically run, the whole article talks about the difference in regulation. But what they emphasize on is it's a regulation thing. The reason why you find that, Fanta in the US and Fanta in the EU market, they are not only different in chemical composition, but they also have different in color, a very vivid, color difference. And that's because, again, it's all about, it all boils down to one thing, regulation.
Yeah. Now, here's part of the other weird things of the regulation. So, dear listeners, everything that Helmut just mentioned just now was a notion in terms of giving you the context, the background discussion in terms of why this particular conversation today takes place, because it was based on a notion. It was a virtual meeting.
Oh, yeah. Before you get to the meeting.
Yeah.
You see, that presidential directive that was passed in 2023 by President Obrador is one that led to the case that was referenced in this.
But remember that the dispute, because it technically was a dispute before the decree, came about because, Mexico was unhappy with certain particular things regarding
health issues
that they were observing in their country. Now, this virtual meeting.
Put a pause on virtual meeting. remember the opium wars?
I know.
It's smelling more like it.
Yeah, and some of the particular sources, like the one that you also highlighted in terms of, giving that context, that background information. So if you want to understand, dear listeners, trade disputes in most cases do arise because of agricultural products in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
We almost had one because of cattle farmers being or harassing Angolans on the other side of the border.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember that back in 2020, was it 2023 or 2024, first half of 2024 last year, where our president now, today, she had to, it was 2023. She and her counterpart, her Angolan counterpart, when she was still Minister of International Relations, they had that highly publicized, engagement, in the north of Namibia, precisely to talk about the potential dispute that can arise from the actions of Namibian cattle farmers walking across the border. But we are speaking about an imaginary border because I've asked so many people, show me a fence. And then it literally is no fence. You see, Almut, where you come from, mm-hmm. there's a natural border.
There's a natural one.
There's a river. Mm-hmm. You can see the divide.
Yeah.
It's been there for thousands and millions of years, and everyone accepts it.
Yeah.
But there are parts.
The immigration officers there with a lot of teeth.
Yeah, there are immigration officers.
Yeah.
But the guys that literally walked across the border with their cattle on that specific part between the Kunene River and the Kavango River,
mm-hmm.
that specific part of land that connects Namibia and Angola,
mm-hmm.
those guys just how it's in terms of how many people that I've spoken to, it just seems that you can just do as you want. You can walk over.
Yep.
They walked over, harassed a bunch of people on the other side for grazing opportunities, and thus then led to a quick sort of like tete-a-tete between our two ministries of international relations on both Angola side and on our side.
Yeah.
Because it could have led firstly to a specific border dispute,
mm-hmm.
and it could have led to a agricultural dispute. Because remember, this was about grazing.
Yeah.
Now, at the heart of this discussion, most of the resources that you and I obviously tapped into, besides the virtual, presentation meeting that was held by, you know, firstly, the moderator was an American guy, who himself is a researcher in the American agricultural aspect or industry there in the US. His name is Tim Wise. You have to search for Tim A. Wise. And the researcher that obviously, you know, the research that he supports specifically is that of the lady that also spoke in the audio recording that I supplied. I need to get her full name because her name is...
The wait is over. The deals are here. It's Big Red Weekend. For 4 days only, ShopRite brings you massive savings of up to 50% off. Like 800 grams Nescafé Coffee Instant Coffee Refill. Only 99 Namibian dollars. 10 kg Top Score Super Maize Meal. Just 118 Namibian dollars. 8 Twin Saver 1-ply Toilet Rolls. Only 45 Namibian dollars per pack. 36, 42, 45, 50, 68 or 76 Pampers Disposable Nappies. Or 35, 40, 46 or 52 pants. 179 Namibian dollars per pack. Don't miss out. This weekend only. Get up to 50% off. Until 16 June 2025, only at ShopRite.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
Just a minute past the hour of 5. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Now, the full name.
Yeah, so the researcher's name is, the researcher, Tim A. Wise, obviously in this particular virtual meeting that I attended and recorded the particular discussion, he introduced the scientist who technically was behind the case that Mexico made in terms of this trade dispute with the United States. Now, mm-hmm. understand here, guys, dear listeners, that the problem that the Mexicans had with GMO, the importation of genetically modified crops or genetically modified produced crops is that it technically, literally let loose a cat amongst the pigeons in the U.S., Mexico, Canada agreement. Remember, the USMCA is the agreement that replaced the NAFTA agreement, the North American Free Trade Agreement.
Mm-hmm.
That was the agreement Mr. Donald Trump tore up,
yeah.
and then negotiated the USMCA agreement,
yeah.
the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Canada just like what you explained a little bit earlier before the ad break, was that there are major markets for U.S. producers, literally to the south and to the north of the U.S.
Yeah.
So Canada to the north, Mexico to the south. Now, understand this, dear listeners, that at the heart of the discussion when Donald Trump was inaugurated on 20 January was a discussion of Donald Trump. Where did he start off again, Helmut? He literally went and targeted the same agreement that he negotiated before he left office in 2020.
Yeah.
Or was it 2021? No, it's 2021. When he left office in 2021. So it, technically, he wanted to now once again renegotiate.
A different one.
His trade agreement that he concluded in 2020, in his first term. So, setting that aside now, now that we understand the basis there.
You're gonna love that guy.
At the heart of this, the scientist, her name is, you know, when you've got to deal with technology and not physical papers, Maria Elena Alvarez Buya Roses.
Oh, of course.
Roches, or Roses. And she was assisted by Erika Aguilar. Now, Alvarez Buya, I'll use that name there. Alvarez Buya, she was literally commissioned by the Mexican Ministry of Economics to go and do an industry-wide and multi-layered analysis of the impact of genetically modified crops on the health of people. Now, this is where things get interesting. They started obviously from cultural identity, which is one of the first slides in the presentation, and they went as far as sourcing from researchers from the United States who researched in 2014, Helmut, the impact of, there's a chemical that they call glyphosate.
Yeah.
Now, glyphosate
comes up a lot in a, you know, when you look up the effects of GMO.
Or even when you just search glyphosate. Glyphosate is technically is used a lot in the pesticides and herbicides.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be, it targets, leaf growing weeds, specific kinds of weeds. Now, they specifically mention the impact of glyphosate as well as also the genetically modified, seeds that are a problem. First and foremost, Helmut. Now, I couldn't understand this particular thing. Now, this is now where I reference a Namibian position. Mm-hmm. Back in 2023 and back in 2024 last year, I went to two engagements that were organized by the NCRST under Namibia's Biosafety Act. The first one in 2023 was understanding the impact of GMO seeds in the agricultural context. The second one last year was where they were looking at revising or updating the section of the Biosafety Act on the GMO seeds discussion. So about seeds, literally about seeds. Now, for all Namibian farmers out there listening today, you may not trade in seeds as a Namibian farmer. I mean, if you grow something in your backyard, you can't process, collect the seeds from the produce and sell it to me. I may not buy it from you. I may not.
May I ask why?
Well, obviously my memory being a little bit sketchy is that specific according to the Biosafety Act, it's a prohibition on that particular trade. As well as also that you've got to buy from certain designated kinds of distributors.
Of course.
So firstly, you already understand that there is already a bias taking place in a market sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly this shows how legislation is used to only support one side or one function. Now, the updating of the Act engagement of last year, 2024, aimed to try and understand the level and the scale of by which there are agricultural producers, crop cultivators in Namibia, who actually import
seeds,
genetically modified seeds. Now, remember, I explained to you here, local producers who wish to help another producer. Let's say I am in an area that is drought prone, but you're in an area of Namibia, Helmut, that has an element of resistance, meaning you're close to rivers or you're close to a permanently or, you know,
perennial water source.
Yeah, perennial water source, which technically runs all year round.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't sell that seed to me.
Because it's against the law.
Yeah, that's the only particular basis, which doesn't even sort of like explain as to why you can't. It just says you may not. Now, you get to the position of understanding why the Mexicans have this particular position against the American GMO-produced crop. Now, the American GMO-produced crop, and here's the worst thing. You remember those jokes that people make in the U.S. about you've got a headache, so you go and you buy medication for the headache, and then you develop a side effect because of that medication. Now you need to buy a second round of medication to deal with the side effect, and then you get another side effect from that medication. Now you have to buy more medication on that side effect. Now, the Mexicans are making the same particular analysis, highlighting that GMO seeds, actually, firstly, it means that there is a few companies that are in control of this particular market share.
Yeah.
Secondly, is that they can't, they are not empowered to grow and produce and invest in their own particular agri-science. But before we continue, we've got another ad break creeping up on us. We'll be back after this, guys.
This is the most diabolical capitalism have gone.
Are you still buying data hoping it will last? Then switch to Paratus. Buying gigabytes is so old school. With our mobile LTE prepaid packages, you take charge. As we invest in time on our network enjoying the freedom of uncapped data. When you buy a 1-day, 7-day, 14 or 30-day package, you get uncapped data usage. For the duration of the package, no matter how much data you use. Explore our range of Paratus mobile LTE prepaid packages and enjoy the speeds of up to 10 megabytes per second. And most importantly, remove the uncertainty about how long your data will last. Contact us today at 083-300-1000 or visit our website at www.paratus.africa/Namibia. Terms and conditions apply. Always
prepare, Paratus. No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
And welcome back. We're 11 minutes into the hour of five. Where were you?
So, on the particular indicator of the GMO discussion, the sort of like prohibition on local trading of seeds,
mm-hmm.
and ultimately sort of like the bias in terms of support of the only trade of genetically modified seeds, the Mexicans have highlighted specifically in their position in that trade dispute with the US, because remember you highlighted the decree
mm-hmm.
that Obrador signed in 2023, which technically was about banning, and then the Americans reacted by saying, no, you can't ban.
No, you cannot, according to this agreement.
According to this agreement, the Mexicans supported their stance, put up their resistance, and the accusation is specific from the Mexican side that the other panelists, because if it's a dispute between two countries, mm-hmm. you have other countries that form a panel, the panel of arbitrators.
Like deliberate on the issue.
Yeah. And apparently the arbitrators ignored the scientific evidence that the Mexicans provided. And they only accepted the scientific evidence of the Americans. But here's the thing, Helmut. It's your nationals, your country's health system
mm-hmm.
is going to be under strain because you've got a whole bunch of cancers happening or popping up in your population that your health system or your health sector cannot deal with. I mean, the references that they used, they came from, like I said, a 2014 research that was done by, I just need to read that small print because it's very tiny. 2014 research done by a researcher by the name of Swanson. Okay, the researchers were Swanson, Liu, Abrahamson, and Wallet, 2014, coming from the particular journal that they authored, genetically engineered crops, glyphosate, and the deterioration of health in the United States of America. This was a journal of organic systems back in 2014. They authored another one immediately afterward. The same guys. Well, not the same guys. One or two of them. One was Seneff, Swanson, and Lee of 2015, known as aluminum. They don't say most aluminium, the Americans. Aluminum and glyphosate can synergistically induce pineal gland pathology, connection to gut dysbiosis and neurological disease. This was found in Agricultural Sciences back in 2015. Now, what were they looking at? They were looking at, Helmut, they were looking at liver, or the occurrence of liver and bile duct cancer. And this was when this was in the correlation plot versus glyphosate use in corn and soybeans and the percentage of corn and soybeans that were planted. They also looked at the occurrence of thyroid cancer, a correlation plot versus glyphosate use in corn and soybeans and a percentage of corn and soybeans that were planted. And but all these time spans, guys, run from 1975. The one runs from 1975 to 2008, or past 2008. The other runs from 1975 to, it seems like, 2010 here as well. The one is from 1980. This is the incidence of diabetes, a correlation plot versus glyphosate use in corn and soybeans, and a percentage of corn and soybeans that were planted. And it runs from 1980 up just to 2012. And then the last one was the Parkinson's related deaths. So if you don't know what Parkinson's disease is, dear listeners, it is one of those other particular debilitating, there is no cure for this kind of disease.
It's a neurological, it's a neurological disorder.
Yeah.
It's actually the worst case scenario of what yours truly here, which is, this essential tremor. Which is what, a lot of people ask me that question.
If anyone knows, is it Michael J. Fox, the actor? He was diagnosed with Parkinson's.
You know, there's basically a miscommunication between your, the part of your brain that controls your muscles and the muscles. Now, for a normal person like you, there's a clear communication between your, between the part of your brain that controls your muscles and your muscles. Mm. Your brain says contract. The message is well received without some kind of interference or what we would call, network problem. Mm. Now,
no, Albert.
Now.
Now. But there's an aspect of pain that Parkinson's suffers.
Actually, Parkinson's is worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Parkinson's is,
and it's the whole body, no?
It's the whole body.
Yeah.
For me, how to put this, essential tremor is something that runs in my family.
Mm.
That's actually where we are told that, for you guys, alcohol, don't.
Mm.
Yeah, just don't. And then you see now that there is a little bit of an irony because, if you have essential tremor, you're actually advised not to drink alcohol because you're going to make the situation worse.
Mm.
You know what calms you down? A beer. And the first time I was diagnosed with that was about a year or two ago, and the medication I was given is I was put on propranolol, and I don't even take it anymore.
Mm.
It's literally alcohol in solid form. Now, what you see is that, there's this conflicting that, alcohol calms your nerves down because it's basically a nerve disorder.
Mm.
Yeah, because of this whole miscommunication between your brain and your person. Now, you have this contract, relax type of mixed up information. So you have this vibration now popping up.
Yeah.
Now, the problem with that is, that's actually the best case scenario. Essential tremor, best case scenario, is not understood and it doesn't have any specific medication.
Mm.
Yeah, so because the medication, anyone, at least anyone that I know, including myself, that was, you know, that was given for essential tremor, is that's the same medication that they give people with high blood pressure. Mm. Which I was like, you know what? I'm gonna give this a pass, but Parkinson is actually, you know, there is, a tremor. That's essential tremor. But Parkinson's, that's literally shaking.
No, it is.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, I even read up on some of the particular symptoms that sometimes comes forward. The people also have a difficulty swallowing properly. They also have restless leg syndrome, you know.
And it's degenerative. So the older you get, the worse.
The older you get, it just gets worse. So all these things, dear listeners, is what these researchers, that the Mexican researchers cited based upon the use of glyphosate, which is this particular chemical compound used, or technically used in tandem, mm-hmm, with the GMO crop that is planted. So as the GMO crop is planted, this particular herbicide or pesticide that contains glyphosate is then used to protect this GMO seedling or this GMO crop as it grows. And that is the particular base that the Mexicans have been arguing, because the Mexican argument has been that the Americans could not prove the safety to the Mexican consumer.
Mm-hmm.
The Americans also, in that particular trade dispute, did not provide evidence also to the panelists, the arbitrators, in terms of requesting or meeting that particular requirement of another country. Now, here's where things get funny, guys. Obviously, as a country, you have the right to do what you want.
Yeah.
You know, to go your own course. But there are certain particular international agreements that the moment it gets if you're a WTO member, the WTO is a UN body. Just understand that as well. It's another UN agency. It's one of those big UN agencies that exist. The downside from what happened there is that if you lose a trade dispute at the WTA level, you have, just like a contractual party, let's for example say you were taken to court for a civil case and you lost that case, you have to abide by the judgment given.
Yeah.
And the Mexicans, unfortunately, now have to abide by the judgment that was passed. And the motivations that were given by Alvarez Buya is that specifically it has negated the local Mexican seed market, because now the local Mexican seed market is sort of like also being told, you know, through legislation or through this trade agreement, you guys may not grow and distribute your own seeds amongst yourself. That was the agreement that was signed. That was the agreement. And some of the questions that I started asking, you know, that I sat there thinking to myself, so through this trade agreement, you guys allowed to be bullied into buying a product that is unhealthy to you. Because Alvarez Buya says literally, there is more than 30 years of research that says that GMOs are bad.
Yeah. And no, it makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. It's not that, it's not that a scientist that's sort of like trying to justify does not know the negative consequences with regards to the human body. It's just that we are more interested in the money that's making. And that's actually the sad part, because, children are born with a lot of deformity because of these things.
Mm.
And people are suffering. And we still don't have any cure for cancer. Now, you'd think that the best way to fight a type of disease or condition we don't have a cure for is to make sure that, to fight it at its source.
Mm.
Let's not cause it. Mm-hmm. Let's just, try to figure out the natural causes. Meaning, let's not participate.
Meaning preventative measures.
Yeah, preventative is better than cure. Yeah. It actually applies in this case. Except, where a lot of money is involved, we actually don't care. Now, this is where time now points out something interesting, that how the U.S. unequally regulates additives. Now, this one is about food additives, because, there's a reason why I emphasized the regulation in the beginning.
Mm.
because you have at the beginning they point out potassium bromate and is another ingredient banned in the UK and many other countries around the world, including Canada, Brazil, and Argentina, but allowed in the US in certain quantities, and has been linked to, well, guess what? Cancer. And then they look at titanium dioxide is used to make food and beverage whiter and brighter. That's why white food in some countries is not recommended. Now the US food the US Food and Drug Administration consider it safe for human consumption, but it isn't found in foods in Europe. And in 2022, the European Food Safety Authority banned titanium dioxide, saying that after reviewing thousands of studies, it could no longer consider the additive safe because it has the potential to damage DNA or cause chromosome damage. Now, your chromosome, that's where the instruction of your cells are. You damage that, it leads to faulty instructions. In other words, well, cancer. Now, then they just narrow down to the part of, to the part that I pointed out earlier, and that is it's a regulation issue. Yeah. It's not that they don't know the dangers. They are just having loose regulations, but because if you ask me, that's exactly what happens when you let private entities run the country, because they end up making the laws. Mm. Now, how the U.S. unequally regulates additives. The U.S. has a different approach to regulating additives than many other countries, says Thomas Galligan, a principal scientist for food additives at the Center for Science in Public Interest. Consumer advocacy group. Then the same gentleman goes on to point out that the EU says that if they can't dismiss the possibility of harm, they can't find the additive safe. In other words, in the EU, the way they regulate it is, you have got to prove beyond a reasonable doubt using all the scientific data I can provide that it is healthy. Mm. But in the US, you will have to prove that it is unhealthy.
The opposite.
Yeah, it's sort of like the opposite. They have going on there. Yeah, and now the EU says that if they can't dismiss the possibility of harm, they can't find the additive safe. And then he goes on to say that in the US, the bar is much lower. Companies can add new ingredients to their food without even informing the FDA. Now in the US, it feels like the FDA is waiting to act until harm is definitely proven.
Now, to support that particular aspect that you're speaking of, at the start of this year, just after Trump was inaugurated and when he started signing those executive orders, discussion that you and I had, and as he was obviously signing them, and then we moved into February, and then we moved into April when he announced the We moved into March and then we moved into April when he announced the Liberation Day, the tariffs for everyone.
Oh, yeah.
It was tariff Christmas for
Especially
everyone.
Especially Lesotho. We're coming for.
Lesotho, Vietnam, and Cambodia. All three of them together.
Lesotho was like, what do we do?
We're too poor, guys. We just have snow. That's all we can offer. Now.
Really had to go there.
Someone went and there's a guy on YouTube that I watched in that span of that week of the tariff announcements. Went and analyzed, why these tariffs were announced. And he zoned in on the tariff penalization by Trump to the EU.
Mm-hmm.
And at that same stage, Trump's Commerce Secretary, Harold Lutnick, not the Treasury Secretary, not the, what's the guy's name? Not Scott Bessent. Harold Lutnick is the guy that went and said on American TV that American beef is the best beef in the world.
Yeah.
He's the guy that went and said, Helmut.
I'm not falling for that.
Helmut, people have protested in Japan and in South Korea when those governments were asked, please import or buy American beef, American red meat.
Nope.
Even the people on the ground said, no.
Absolutely not.
Do you know what's at the heart of American red meat? So America's red meat market trade. I'm not talking about the farmers. I'm talking about the abattoirs.
Mm-hmm.
The abattoirs in America buy livestock from Mexico and from Canada, but they don't have certifications of quality, meaning under what conditions that, you know, did you buy these livestock?
Mm-hmm.
Were they sick? Was something wrong with? You don't know, but the local American farmers associations have literally methods and mechanisms in place that can show you the track and tracing of where this piece of meat comes from.
Mm-hmm.
You can trace it to a specific producer, but you can't do it if you are channeling livestock from other countries into your country and you literally export that red meat out. So the Europeans, the Japanese, the South Koreans were concerned that the red meat that the Americans want to export to them is not the American-produced red meat. It's the red meat coming from Mexico or from Canada. And those were the concerns because you don't know what is Canada, what is Mexico's legislation or their regulations or agricultural regulations on animal husbandry. You know, you don't know what the conditions are.
Yeah.
Now I step into another realm that this guy also highlighted, this particular gentleman that made this video. So he shows me two sides in this video. The same particular guy, I think he's an American or he's an Englishman. He shows two sides. And he zones in on egg production, you know,
ooh,
poultry farming. So in the UK, but he used the UK system because the UK system is apparently very close to the EU standards,
mm-hmm,
on how eggs are stored, are firstly processed and stored.
Mm-hmm.
So processing also includes packaging.
Yeah.
In the UK, you don't wash the egg. Meaning the
Not even with water.
No. I'll get to the explanation as to why.
No kidding.
So the egg farm, where the egg producer is, the egg farm, just collects the eggs, packages them, and sends them.
That's it.
But the egg, like you see in the shops, when you go into any shop here in Namibia, mm, the egg is not in a fridge. The egg is at room temperature on a shelf.
Yeah.
Ne? In the US, the egg is washed. And the egg is placed in packaging, plastic packaging, and the egg is put in a fridge. Now, what is the difference?
Who refrigerates an egg?
The washing. So in the US, why do they wash? So in the US, the FDA steps in again. So an FDA standard, supposedly. So the FDA says, wash the thing so that the thing is clean of any particular outside, like bacteria and stuff like that, to the consumer. But keep it in a refrigerated state for the consumer. But what is used in the washing are chemicals and detergents.
That's a dumb idea.
On the UK, Europe side, the reason as to why the farmer is told not to wash and literally keep the egg as is, as it was literally produced by the chicken.
Yeah.
It's because there's a thin protective coating around the egg that already protects the egg.
Natural defense mechanism.
Yes. Besides the hardness of the shell.
Yeah.
Now, the moment the Americans wash off that coating, eggs are porous. The eggshell is porous.
Yeah, they're not airtight.
Yeah, they're not airtight. So whatever you were washing the egg with, that chemical residue that's left on the egg after washing that protective coating, that natural protective coating,
mm-hmm,
is absorbed by the egg into the contents of the egg. So remember the term that you used yesterday, not yesterday or the day before, the one about in the food chains when you've got that contaminant
bioaccumulation.
Yeah, that bioaccumulation factor.
Yeah.
That's what is happening to the Americans by their own egg producers.
Okay, who came up with the dumb idea of washing something with
detergent?
Yeah. Something consumable. It's the packaging standards
that the FDA has in the US.
And this is the painful thing that I have come to learn about also consumers.
Yeah.
If you try to find out what led to that, them washing that, chances are very high someone filed a lawsuit to a poultry farmer.
Mm.
About some type of allergic reaction they had.
Mm.
And then they were like, you know what? We are going to lobby for us to allow to wash with chemicals so we can provide you something that is physically clean, but chemically, it's not very clean.
It's chemically tainted, but physically clean.
Yeah, physically clean. Congratulations. But, well, now, okay, now here's one thing. Okay, here's one very simple thing that you don't have to be a doctor to figure out. That synthetic chemicals are very foreign to your body. They don't know what to do. You know, they don't know what to do with it. But
your body can't absorb it.
Yeah, they don't have an immune system, cannot attack them because, well, they don't know what the heck that thing is. Well, here's the thing. Any type of microorganism that's on that egg, your body is familiar with.
Yeah, and your body can defend you from
Your body can defend you from that microorganism. But whatever chemical that seeps in there, your body will be like, well, this one is on you, buddy.
Yeah, let's send it to the what's that thing's name? The appendix. Let's send it there to the appendix. And then you get appendicitis.
And it's not funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, look, the thing is, GMO, the negative impact of GMO to human body is not debatable. A lot, and this is basically the world over. It is well known. And basically the same thing about, you know, the same thing about a lot of other chemicals, which is why if you look at, I came across an article at 2019 article by, by Daily Mail. Where they decided to compare a lot of different products coming, a lot of different products, same brand, but the US and the American version. They just looked at the ingredients. The US almost always has a paragraph of ingredients.
And you don't understand what those ingredients
are. Yeah, you don't understand.
You're just an average, shopper.
Nope.
Who's buying stuff.
No, okay, how many of us look at the ingredients of something?
No, I was taught now, okay.
I look
at that's from shopping with some ladies here in Namibia who literally when they walk into the shop, they go and read the thing. I just take the thing if I like it, take it, put it in the basket, and there we go.
You're looking at ingredients, I'm looking at the price. Can I afford it?
Yes or no?
Now, a very few example of some brands you will recognize. There is Doritos. My cousin is addicted to this stuff. I swear, I need to.
No, but Doritos is also a tortilla, right?
Oh yeah, you're right.
It's also made from that.
Yeah, it's made
from Milis. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you just get that article and then you look at the difference between the Doritos that's served for the American consumers and one that's served for the UK consumers, you see that, the Americans are eating a bunch of stuff. Artificial color, red 40, blue 1, yellow 5. I have no clue what that is. But all those chemicals that are even indicated in red, among a lot of other food additives, are not in the UK. They are not in the UK Doritos.
Yeah.
And the interesting one is cream egg. Cream egg. Now, for the US version, they use artificial coloring, yellow 6. That's obviously something synthetic. Now, for the UK version, they use paprika extract. So, you can see that this is just a regulation thing. And now you come to tomato ketchup, is what you like to call tomato sauce. You have tomato concentrate, distilled vinegar, high fructose corn syrup. Of course, it will have high fructose corn syrup. Now, the high fructose corn syrup is not in the UK now. But it's the same product. So basically, the UK, in comparison, has a hold on what they feed their population. Basically, the EU. They'll be like, okay, now, if you are going to provide this product here, you will have to change one or two of these ingredients. And it turns out that, Mountain Dew, this drink is still alive. I don't remember last time I saw this thing. I saw this thing when I was, still a kid. And now there's Mountain Dew, there's Sunny, I think some types of juice, and you have some types of canned food. Now the canned food, my God, that one has one long list of a lot of things. And of course, right next to pretty much everything is high fructose corn syrup. You have, canned food, high fructose corn syrup. Check. Yeah. And then you get to the choose one. Well, they have sucrose and they have boy, oh boy. Oh, yeah, high fructose corn syrup is also in that juice. And let me check, and where's that one? Oh, high fructose corn syrup is in Mountain Dew. And also you have another cereal here that also has, hang on a second. Now that's a long list. I can't find high fructose. Jesus. And you have the, you know, the ketchup, high fructose corn syrup, check. And you have the, you know, you have the, you know, the, you know, the, what's this, cream egg, well, corn syrup, well, yeah, high fructose corn syrup, check. These guys put high fructose corn syrup in everything.
So do you see what is
corn syrup, high fructose?
And what people don't know, guys, what high fructose actually means. This is just for my basic biology. That's syrup. That's sugar.
A lot of it.
That's sugar.
Actually, saying a lot of it is not the right term. A very high concentration of it.
Yeah. Of it in your food. So that means anything you buy has sugar in it. And remember, you buy sugar separately as well.
Yeah.
And if people don't know what the various sugars there are, you've got glucose. I think there's one that's the...
Oh, there's a whole list.
There's a whole list, but yeah. The natural one that you find in nature is fructose. The ones that come from fruits.
Oh.
Fructose. Sucrose is another natural one.
No wonder in Spanish, sucre is sugar.
Yeah. You've got glucose, which is the overall name, mm-hmm. but glucose is the one that you find like in your blood. Your blood sugar levels that they speak
basically
about.
Basically, that's the one, that's the type of sugar your body knows.
Your body knows. Yeah. But your body converts something else into that.
Yeah.
And it's usually like...
Well, that's when you are using it. When you are not using it, they convert it to fat.
Yeah.
For storage.
Or it takes the fat from somewhere in your body and then...
Burns
it and then makes
converts
it...
Converts it into that.
Into that.
Man, the body is smart.
No, the body is a complete engine. It's a complete engine. That's why the trick question was always, if you ask someone, which is more important, the heart or the body, the heart or the brain?
Okay.
And then people will go, the brain. And then you ask them, but how does the brain get oxygen?
Excellent.
Yeah. So on that specific scenario, that just what you were highlighting there, Helmut, and that small experiment there shows the level of, corn. I think the term is cornstarch.
Mm-hmm.
That corn.
High fructose thing.
Yeah, high fructose. It's the corn starch. The Mexicans mention here, they buy a lot of the yellow corn. They don't buy the white corn. The white corn is the industrial product, the one that's applied in all American foods. So it's the one day with the one guy. it's another YouTube meme joke. Two friends showed up and they just decided to drive somewhere in the Midwest. The Midwest is all those states that you find here in the middle of the U.S. Not Wyoming them. I'm talking about the ones like Ohio, Arkansas, what's the other one's name? That has literally all the farming, you know, all the agricultural processes in the U.S., all the farming that takes place. Also, when we did the discussion of the right to repair discussion,
yeah,
where that farmer is based, literally in that vicinity.
Yeah, the guy that was complaining about John Deere.
About his John Deere, yeah.
Yeah.
These two guys showed up at one specific, like, corn plantation. Showed up and decided, you know what, let's just pluck some of these mealies that were standing there. Mm-hmm. I'm using the colloquial term here. Pluck it! And they see that the thing is white. It doesn't look like the thing that they had in the shop, the yellow one.
Mm-hmm.
And then just for them to go and Google and ask, you know, why do you have white mealies? And that the white mealie is technically the industrial one. Now, according to the Mexicans, I almost said the Argentines, according to the Mexicans, you get the local Mexican variant. That's now the naturally grown one.
Yeah.
Comes out in purple, comes out in orange,
comes out in
red.
Colors.
Yeah, it's like a whole rainbow situation happening there in Mexico, which obviously is just an indicator of the soil kinds, the soil types that the Mexicans have.
But when it comes to like different grains growing on one cob, or some cob coming out in red, coming out, I think you can still find that. But you know, I haven't seen maize like that.
Me neither.
In a while, but I think you can still find it in in some rural areas. Mm. Yeah.
No, but even in a Namibian context, I would.
Yeah.
The one time that I mistakenly, and I say mistakenly, that you can take my word on this, you can dispute me on it, but all I know is that I mistakenly ate it, someone intentionally boiled it. This was the white millet, the white maize, corn cob, maize cob. And it was boiled, and I ate the thing, and the thing was just unappetizing. It tasted like boiled paper. That white corn cob. And I know there are some Namibians that sell it here. And then I realized the moment that the next time that we bought the yellow one and we cooked it and we boiled it and I ate it, why the yellow one is the one approved for eating, for direct consumption, as opposed to the white one. Because the white one was either a mixture of you eating boiled cardboard box or you chewing on boiled hard paper. And it literally tasted like a paper product. That's actually a very good analogy. You know, you could actually...
Boiled cardboard is a perfect example.
No, you can actually use that white corn cob for paper production, which Namibia obviously doesn't have. We don't have paper production.
No, look, the reason why I'm just emphasizing regulation a lot is you have to understand that... If you just take any type, any multinational corporation and look it up on their website, or not their website, you just get their Wikipedia page, and they all have the part of either controversy. It's almost always labeled as controversy or critics or criticism. Now then you'll just read a bunch of stories. Some of it is basically Wikipedia-ish. So just way at the bottom they have their reference, and then that's where you follow up the reference. Some of them will lead you to dead end. That's how you know it's a lot of crap. And then some of them will lead you to legitimate source. That's when you know that for a lot of companies, especially one of the food giant that has always caught in the crossfire of healthy, criticism when it comes to the products it provides, is Nestle. Whether it's food wise or baby milk formula wise.
Helmut, it's Nestle.
Nestle. I'm not Swiss. Now,
it's an American company, Moss. It's got a little thing there on the last E.
Wait, isn't Nestle Swiss?
No. I also thought it was Swiss.
Really?
It's an American company.
And that explains the controversy because those guys are mired in a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the point is, this is where we come down to shareholders now. First of all, I'm going to point this out on two sides, on the sides of the companies and the side of the consumers. Some of this packaged food are just meant to be a snack, not a lifestyle. And we have turned it into a lifestyle where we are eating breakfast, lunch and dinner. Any type of food, when you eat it at that level, it obviously going to generate a lot of negative consequences.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's high time we just bring back the tradition of home cooked meal.
Mm.
Because this whole of let's order takeout 5 weeks in a, I mean, you know, 5 days in a week. Well, it's going to have a lot of negative consequences whether you like it or not. It doesn't matter how good that type of food is. Now on the side of the manufacturer or the, food processors, these are companies, whether you like it or not. At the bottom line, they're companies. Their main goal is not to feed you, is for profit. A shareholder somewhere there is waiting for a 5% increase in their dividend for this year compared to the one for last year. Mm. And they are never waiting for like, 5% decrease. No, they are always waiting for an increase, I don't know where we're headed. But, they just want to increase. And this whole system is unsustainable because we don't have, Thanos puts it, the resources are finite. Mm. Everything is finite. There's one guy on TikTok that's abusing that audio. he used it trying to explain to his girlfriend why he needs a, you know, a view once at least two times a day for his mental health.
No.
That is what he's fine. Yeah, and he always ends with the part where, you know, where is it Deborah, who is this green kid that's yelling, "You don't know that," and then he's like, "I'm the only one who knows that." Like, oh my God, I hate my mind. I can't believe I understood that.
No.
You've got to love social media. Yeah, but look, the bottom line is, this is something that I like to sing, like, as much, you know, as often as I can. Food giants are not there to cook for you.
No,
they're not. I know we like to make it look like that. They have adverts floating around that makes it look like that, but they are not there to cook for you. They are there to make money.
Yeah.
Cooking for you and the healthy, or I mean your health, that's your responsibility.
Oh, as well as also what you're buying.
Yeah.
Because you're obviously showing up at the shops.
I mean, this is something that we actually don't like to hear. But again, for the millionth time, food giants are not there to cook for you. They are there to make money.
Mm.
Cooking for you and what gets in your mouth, that's your responsibility. Yeah, it's a very sad reality. But the bottom line here is a lot of food additives that are added to food today, it's either for coloring or artificial sweeteners, mm-hmm. or to give it a long shelf life.
And that's why they say, always say, and when I say they, I'm talking about the nutritionists. That's why they always highlight to you, try to buy things that look fresh-ish.
Yeah. The closer to nature it is,
yeah,
the better.
Fresh-ish. But then that's also one of the other particular things, Helmut.
Have you seen the price of those products?
Yeah. That's what I was about to get to now. Before we continue, we've got a short ad break.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back. But before we continue, let's take a live read.
This is the Welwitsche University September intake for 2025. All programs are fully accredited by the NQA. Certificate in Health Sciences Foundation Level 4. This is a one-year full-time course available at all campuses. Certificate for Enrolled Nurse Midwife or Accusher Level 6. This is a 2 years full-time course available in Windhoek, in Kurenguru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, Katimamulilu, and Otapi. Diploma in Environmental Health Sciences Level 6. This is a 2 years full-time course available in Windhoek. Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours. This is a 4 years full-time course available in Windhoek, in Kurenguru, Kombat, Walvis Bay, and Katimamulilu. Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing Level 8. This is a 1 year full-time course available in Windhoek. Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing Level 8. This is a 1 year full-time course available in Windhoek. Application period is 1 June to 30 June 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Welwitsche University, where everyone is an achiever.
Welcome back. where was I? Sometimes I blame our laziness for a lot of medical conditions we suffer from, but the GMO part. Mm-hmm. I think the reason why the whole, Mexico, just Mexico maybe lost that case is because, they used, the agreement, the US, Canada, Mexico, the Mexico agreement terms, not the scientific data. Because the scientific data, just the world over, goes to show that, our technological advancement in the culinary direction is beginning to backfire in a lot of very, 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 very bad ways. Now, you have another study that's coming out of Cambridge that links that shows that it's not the only cause, but it's one of the main cause of colon cancer. Food that don't have fibers. A lot of us are eating a lot of processed food that don't have, you know, that where like the fiber is ripped off to make it super white and super refined. And as a result, now your gut actually needs fiber. It's more of a lubricant.
You're using lubricant. Mm-hmm. I'll explain that part. So fiber, have you ever eaten Weet-Bix?
Oh yeah, a lot. But there is just one problem.
I can finish
a box of those.
How quickly did you get hungry?
When I got in a cab, it was gone.
Yeah.
A cab to come to work after not to going.
Now, it is proven
by
the nutritionists and the nutritional scientists, your body cannot absorb the fiber.
Yeah.
So the fiber is technically there, Helmut. Imagine a cleaning surface, a service. This cleaning service is the fiber. So the fiber is there to clean your gut.
Your guts.
Yeah. So that thing that you mentioned about the highly refined foods, the processed foods, those particular elements go and get stuck there. Now, here's one of the particularly nasty things that people experience the older they become. They become constipated. And it's primarily you need other foods to assist you to go to the toilet because it needs to get out of your system.
Yeah.
Otherwise, your body will end
up... So, hang on a second. So, fiber is basically a broom.
It's technically a broom.
That's cleaning everything that's stuck there.
It cleans your digestive gut or your digestive tract, as they would call it, which is both the intestines...
And the stomach.
No, not the stomach. Your stomach has most acid in it. It can't clean your stomach.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy, that would be bad.
That's why the stomach acid can't dissolve the fiber even smaller. For the stomach to absorb it.
Mm-hmm.
But it starts cleaning the moment the bolus of food moves out of the stomach, meaning whatever is left. Remember, it's absorbing into the stomach.
Yeah.
And at the stomach, it's literally being absorbed into the blood because your blood is transporting nutrients.
Yeah.
Now, whatever the stomach could not absorb
either
passes through to your liver and your kidneys, which are usually liquids,
mm-hmm.
And whatever else there is still left,
mostly solid, for example,
goes into your intestines.
Mm.
And then your pancreas releases an enzyme that helps with the breaking down process. Now you've got bacteria in your intestines, which also help with the breaking down process.
Yeah. Actually, it's recommended that you feed them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, at that level is sometimes where you get handbrake mentalities of the foods that you ate. So now they get stopped there. You don't drink enough water during the day. So that also, because water is also one of the particular lubricants
mm-hmm.
of your whole bodily functions,
mm-hmm.
which includes your toilet functions.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't drink enough water, you need something else that also assists you in terms of your toileting functions. And that's where eating high fiber foods like oats, like Weet-Bix, there's another cereal, the one that you eat with yogurt, muesli, and muesli comes in. So those particular three cereals are identified as the best cereals to eat. But remember, with Weet-Bix, it's the Weet-Bix and something else that you have to eat because your body needs energy.
Mm-hmm.
Your body can't just run on milk and water because the fiber literally just... It does that. You know, what was that Ugandan, you know, the economy is going.
Oh, the finance minister. I'm here to assure you people and show the country the economy is now on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he laughs.
Yeah.
And then comes back the next day. Colleagues, money will come. Then he laughs.
Yeah.
Comes back the next day. he always has a line. But, now when it comes to GMO and seed sharing, this whole thing is all going to boil down to regulations.
Mm. It technically spells it out.
The Norwegian Ministry of Agriculture runs the world's biggest seed vault.
Mm.
They basically have what, like almost a million different varieties of seeds.
Mm.
Chances are very high you'll find mahangu in there.
Probably. No, but it's not most, that doesn't run by that name, Helmut, that crop. Its name is pearl millet.
Yeah.
And India is one of the largest producers of pearl, pearl millet.
That's something I didn't know until last year.
Yeah, but that just shows, okay, not to you, Helmut, sorry. I have to apologize, not to you. But it shows to, for me, it shows how us Namibians also live a very insulated life. Because there is a global presence of certain crops.
Mm-hmm.
Helmut, just remember when I had that particular discussion about potatoes.
Yeah.
The potato is not native to Africa.
It's not native to Africa.
But we produce potatoes in Africa.
Yeah.
So too also the sweet potato. It's not indigenous to Africa. But we've got the yam and the cassava,
mm-hmm.
which are like cousins of the sweet potato.
They're not native to Africa, those ones, are they?
And I think the yam and the cassava are.
Mm-hmm.
They get pretty big in the locations that they found. The thing with potatoes is potatoes' ideal climate is either that you've got to be in a highly mountainous area that is very rich soil, meaning rich in nutrient soil,
mm-hmm.
or you've got to be in Europe where they've got that other very dark brown soil, rich in nutrient soil kind
mm-hmm.
for the potatoes to flourish. But then you come to tomatoes. It's a South American food. Now, if we ask the questions here about, you know, the shared dietary or nutritional value of the world, obviously you can see that a country like Namibia has to try and tap into certain particular things that are found in other countries. And India is a huge producer of pearl millet. Huge! Let me say it again. Huge!
Oh, dear Lord. Okay. Man, the time is up. But now I want to bring up,
David is still not here. David is not here.
You know, a whole different angle. A lot of, you know, the reason why a lot of farmers get, get really worked up, especially local farmers, by multinational guys showing up and trying to influence things on a, on a central government level, is, is that a lot of companies, for example, like Monsanto, unfortunately, they don't have very good reputation when it comes to these things.
Mm.
They are very good at, advocating for legislations that, that makes the environment ripe for monopoly.
Mm.
This is the reason why, when was that? Was that back in 2022? A lot of, back in 2022, Greenpeace was working with with local Kenyan farmers that decided to form their own, they call themselves, they had a name. It was a Greenpeace and, Seed Savers United. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Seed Savers United. This is, it turns out, Kenya has passed a piece of legislation like our Biosafety Act.
Yeah.
And that piece of legislation was passed back in 2012, and it was protested in from 2022, I think, up until sometimes last year, because local farmers just wanted the right to buy seeds from each other or exchange seeds without the government getting involved. But this piece of legislation made that illegal, the country will have, more like a national level type of storage facility of where everyone, during every farming season will have to buy seeds from.
Mm.
Now, at this point, everyone was like, first of all, that has obviously comes with pros and cons. The good thing is, you can have a national seed storage. The terrible thing is, if an accident happens there, you have a Library of Alexandria situation going on.
Literally, that things go
Now everyone is like, okay,
everything is lost.
Yeah, well, all your food in one basket. Now, that's, you know, something Fatih Birol pointed out on the, you know, Summit of the Future, Future of Energy Security in London this year. And that was, when it comes to energy, diversify. Yeah. Don't have one source of energy. Don't put your eggs in one basket. But here we are, we want to put literally seeds in one basket and thinking, well, what could go wrong? The point is things always go wrong.
Yep. There's things known as, what is those, microorganisms?
Yep.
That attack seeds.
Now what do you do?
Helmut, let me tell you a fascinating story. There at where I stay. So, I obviously told you that I've got a sibling that's interested in everything. And she went and looked up a specific kind of a plant. And she researched how can you germinate this plant's seed?
Mm-hmm.
Because she had the seed pod. The seed, the plant, only survives. And this is how mutually beneficial, natural relationships.
Symbiotic relationships.
Exist in nature.
Yeah.
This plant can only germinate after a bird has swallowed it, has eaten it, swallowed it, and defecated it out in its fecal matter.
Holy cow.
Then only that plant can grow.
Minus that bird.
Minus that bird. That's how important the bird is in that plant's survival.
The plant is gone. Now, look, one thing, one thing that raises a lot of local farmers' eyebrows when it comes to dealing with this whole GMO discussion is genetically modified seeds.
Mm.
Are only made for one harvest.
You have to buy it.
And you have to keep buying.
And who do you support?
You are feeding a monopoly.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what.
You're feeding a biotech company.
Uh huh. And if any of those, and this is actually what is killing, like, I think, what is killing, assuming there is still local farming that remains in the US.
Mm.
Now, the type, you know, GMO seeds, that means that someone has intellectual property to that product.
Yeah.
So if it's found on your farm, you can be sued if you don't have a license, or more like you did not buy it. You can't prove the papers that you bought it.
Yeah.
So now you are going to be suing each other left, right, and center, because I found my products in your farm.
Mm.
Well, buddy, the wind blows. How do you think pollination takes place?
Mm.
Now, the problem is, the more GMO products, obviously, that you farm, this one thing that has always also been observed. The more obviously pollination is going to take place. Then the next thing you know, you are reliant on buying seeds because all types of seeds that you can keep, they are more like sterile.
Mm.
They are just made to plant it and then it grows and then you eat it. That's it. If you plant it again, it doesn't grow. Again, that is feeding a monopoly.
And that's literally what the Mexicans are saying.
Yeah.
There's a global economy that's against the well-being of healthy eating.
Yep.
Of entire nations.
Odd though it may sound. We say in the legal, you know, fraternity that... a good lawyer knows the law. The best lawyer knows the judge. I know. 6 minutes.
But you started something else there.
That's unfortunately is the reality of the legal. A good lawyer. I mean, you know the law, excellent. But the best one knows the judge. Because this panel, for example, this panel that was presiding over this whole Mexico, US GMO case.
Mm.
You really think they don't know the dangers of GMO? They know.
They know.
Yep. They know. So, I think this is one of those things that we now have to take on our own. This is going to have to boil down to personal responsibility. And then from personal responsibility, then it flows into the questions that we ask lawmakers. Because if you know, looking at the comparison between the the UK type of, same brands of food coming out of the UK, in the US, when you look at the list of ingredients, you see that this is a regulation issue. If you let a bunch of, a bunch of shareholders with an insatiable, appetite for profit, they will just put in that food whatever they want. And again, Boeing made an excellent example of that on Lion Air of Malaysia, their 737 MAX, and the Ethiopian airline that crashed back in 2019. Now, when Lion Air of Malaysia was investigated, it was the Boeing guys that decided, that was a mistake on the pilot. He could not defend himself because he died on the plane in the first place. Now, they tried to come up with the same excuse when the same model of a plane of theirs crashed, and that was Ethiopian Airlines back in 2019. And in air crash investigators were like, there's too much of a similarities that these accidents share to basically call this an accident. That's when they started to say, oh, you know what, we'll settle. Actually, settling is how you know someone is guilty. Multinational corporations, when they start saying, let's settle, they know they're guilty. Yeah. Well, to this day, actually, relatives of both Lion Air and Ethiopian Airline, I think they're still, engaged in a discourse with the U.S. government to try and get some type of compensation for the death of their loved ones. And let's just say it's not going well.
Yeah.
Yeah. 9 minutes into the hour of David. This is where I say goodbye until tomorrow, same time, same place. Guys, your body is yours to take care of. Please, if you leave it in the hands of multinational corporations that are just want to make profit, that's on you.
Please, guys, look after yourselves.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? Even a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.